2, 1. Hi guys, welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. My guest today, I wanted to have on for months and months, and I just kept saying, I gotta have on Kevin Jenkins. And then I'm in Times Square speaking for the first time to an awakened New York City, and who's in front of me? Kevin Jenkins. So here he is today. Thank you for joining me, Kevin.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
I love you. I think you're awesome. And my audience that doesn't know you, can you tell them a little bit about how you find yourself on the front lines of this crazy battle we're in for humanity, I feel?
Well, I'm always asked that question, but of course, my name is Kevin Jenkins. I'm the CEO of Urban Global Health Alliance. I'm a proud member of the Disinformation 12. I'm the proud co-producer of Medical Racism. You can get on and watch it at medicalracism.org. How I came about being involved in this. My family's always been involved in rebuilding cities and, you know, developing strategies to make sure Black Americans and white Americans and all Americans around the country have a good quality of health, are able to live in their communities and thrive economically. And how I got on this journey is a young man named Jamel Holly, Assemblyman Jamel Holly, came to me last year and started telling me the crisis that was happening at the State House with regards to taking parents' religious exemptions away from them. And he started telling me what was going on, and he explained it to him. He wanted me to look at the bill and have a conversation with him. And we both agreed that it was a discriminatory bill. But that was the first part of me going down the rabbit hole. So then I missed Bobby Kennedy's presentation in New Jersey because I was busy doing something else. My wife went, who's a power in her own right, saw it and said, Kevin, we have a problem. We didn't pay attention to this. After all of years in government and business, we didn't pay attention to the overwhelming chronic illness in our community. But we also didn't pay attention to what was happening to our children, the long-term damage that was happening to our children, in particular Black Americans. So I went to the presentation in Connecticut, and I saw the presentation, and I was like, okay, this is a serious issue. This is something that I actually felt bad about, because I wasn't paying attention. I was doing development, building housing, building commercial development, talking about all of the stuff that we always talk about. Right. And I kind of thought that, you know, in order for me to do this the right way, I would have to build an institution with institutional science and really focus on changing the culture of health in this country, but also really singularly focus on why are Black Americans and America so chronically ill? You know, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, autoimmune disease, autism, all of the diseases that have been impacting us for decades. I really wasn't paying attention to it. Even in my own household, I had no idea that, you know, my grandson might have been vaccine damaged, but I realized it afterwards. I didn't know that the chronic illness that my wife was going through was seriously something that I just didn't pay attention to. I just thought like, okay, get up. You know, we're Jenkins, go get your shit together. Oh, go get yourself together and you'll be fine, right? And I was so wrong. I was absolutely wrong. And so this year has been a very enlightening year because I've gotten the ability to travel around the country, talk about what this is not about race and class, right, but is about power and control. Talk about what's happening in the Black community and the white communities. Because guess what? For 75 days, 80 days, I didn't speak to anybody that was Black.
Right.
I spoke to all white Americans, talking to them about how we should work together, how we should be joining arms together and fighting against the tyranny of our time, right, how big pharma, big tech and the banking industry is creating a greatest psyop of all history to destroy our humanity, to destroy our families, to destroy our ability to learn. And on that tour, Faith, Family and Freedom, that Robert Davis Steele asked me to be on, it blew me away. It changed my whole life, actually.
Right.
I will never look at things the same anymore.
Yeah, you're never going. I mean, I'm the same way. I didn't expect this. I was in Hollywood. I saw a lot of stuff I didn't like happening to children and a real satanic element to the point that I couldn't not see it and couldn't not say something. And, you know, next thing I know, here I am.
So it was very interesting to see that, you know, in urban communities and in rural and in Midwest and Heartland, they actually thought people actually think that our lives are something different. We're fighting the same beast.
Right, right.
We're fighting government overreach. We're fighting health officials that believe they have more power over our bodies than we do.
Yeah.
They, you know, it was really interesting that when I started listening to their stories, I was like, wait a minute. That's the same story I heard in Newark. That's the same story I heard in Boston. That's the same story I heard in New Orleans. That's the same story I heard in Kansas. We're all fighting the same monster. And I realized that in order to win this battle, that I was going to have to give my life up and sacrifice my life to do this, because I think that this, if we don't win this battle, we win nothing.
No. And the world loses. We're the last stand right now. The Americans' Constitution and Bill of Rights and the Bible are the only thing standing between us and their great reset. And that is a fact, in my opinion. Now, let me ask you a little bit about the Black community. What I have seen is, I live in New York City, and a lot of my friends that are Black are not getting the vaccine, as I'm not. And I'd rather, not put something that's experimental and I think unnecessary in my body. I also had COVID. So. But a lot of I've never seen what I see now is there's a true segregation going on. And most of my Black friends refuse to get the vaccine. They're not getting it. They don't care. In New York City, I think only 24% of the Black community has gotten the vaccine. And we are watching. I kept my local restaurant open during the lockdown. I only went there. I really contributed. We went two nights ago. They said we couldn't come in because they had a problem with us. And even worse is downloading the app. I would never do that, even if I got the vaccine, which I never would. But they would not let us in. And they said that it was because other people in there. I've gone there almost every time I've gone out for the last 5 years. They weren't worried about us. They were worried about other people in there calling the cops because we were in.
Well, you know what? Then they should be out of business. I mean, at the end of the day, that's not an excuse. That's discriminatory. That's racist. That's big. That institution believes in segregation. They believe in separating the clean as opposed to the unclean, right. The clean and unclean. I don't buy that excuse.
Me neither.
I don't buy that. You know what? I don't buy that. I would never spend a dollar in those places. Those places are agreeing with the new slave system that's been put in place. And guess what? I guarantee you they're losing business. And all of those people that were eating in there showing their slave passports, they're modern day slave catchers. That's what they are. You don't get to make up an excuse. Like, for instance, would you make up an excuse for genocide? That's what this is. And as far as Black Americans are concerned, they're waking up all over the country.
Right.
And they've been paying attention to this. Just because you didn't hear from them doesn't mean they weren't paying attention. And now you see what this is all about.
Right.
This is not about, the fact that one person might be healthier than the other. It's about power and control. Right. And all of those small businesses that are using that excuse, oh, it's not me, it's the people inside. Wait a minute. No. You should be closed down. We should be boycotting those stores. We should be building our own businesses.
Right.
We should be building our own distribution networks. We should abandon those places.
Right.
We should never give another penny to them. Because what they're saying is, it's all right to treat me like a slave.
Yeah.
It's the right to treat me like a slave. So no. I think that those places should be boycotted, period. That's why we're launching on our side, Urban Global Health Alliance, we're launching a civil disobedience campaign all around the country.
Good.
We're getting ready to launch that in a couple of months. Like we're going to do it in the next couple of weeks. But, I know the Christmas holidays are here.
Right.
But we're going to be launching that very quickly.
Great. That's exciting. Very exciting. I want to ask you also, you have been a victim of cancel culture, of attacks on your person, on your business, on your life.
No, they wouldn't dare do that to me because I would gut them. No one, you have to understand, I would like that to happen.
Yeah. But I know that these demons, just in general, the propaganda machine is so out of control that it's disgusting and sad. I mean, to me, they're the biggest perpetrators of this crime against humanity.
If we say no to it and people stop buying into this fake cancel culture, people stop buying into these fake narratives, we'll be fine. But there's a group of people in this country that are quite comfortable with being slaves. We're just not.
Right.
If they want to be slaves, if they want to live their life like that, if they want to give their bodies over, back to slavery, if they want to become, trapped in perpetual poverty, they have the right to do that. But we also have the right to be free. We also have the right to live and stand on the Constitution. We have the right. We also have the right to be able to understand and share the Bill of Rights with the rest of the world and say, this is what we should be putting. We should be putting our lives into this, as opposed to turning our bodies over to be slaves. So I don't begrudge them, but God bless them. But guess what? I want something different for my life.
Right.
I know once you accept that, It's done for you, done for your children, done for your ability to work. All of the people that are saying right now, oh, if I don't take this experiment by logic, I'm going to lose my job. You're going to lose it anyway.
Right. They don't even get it
yet. Next week, they're going to tell you you have to do something else. The following week, they're going to tell you to do something else. Once you comply, you die.
Right. Right. Well, that's the truth. We know that they're about to, like, they changed the definition of a vaccine. They're about to pull the, if you don't get the booster, you're unvaccinated. I see what's coming. It's going to never end.
Well, the Webster Dictionary thing just proves our point. It just proves our point. I don't think Americans are stupid people whatsoever.
Me neither.
I think we're very smart and we're very intuitive, right? And we know instinctively something is wrong.
Right.
And I think that's why so many people are joining our ranks. You know, it's more of us than them, Mel. You know that, right? It's more of us than them.
That's why we travel. That's why we go. But also there's an energy in getting together with people that are like-minded, that are for God and country and truth and freedom and liberty. And that's why you and I go there and we shake hands and we talk to people and we give people a platform, because part of what they've done to us too in the last 2 years, especially, is the isolation, the separating people, the feeling that so many people feel they've lost friends and family, they've been demoralized. And I said from the very beginning of the lockdowns and the COVID-19, which is certification of vaccination identification, is what COVID stands for. I said that the biggest death toll was going to be suicide, overdose, depression, and people not going to the hospital for normal things that they would have that weren't because of this lie. What are you seeing in terms of that, the psychological damage?
Well, I think all of us, I mean, I don't care who you are. I mean, going through this unknown, right, is stressful for everyone. You know, every human being. Just imagine what's happening with the children going to school with masks. Just imagine women going to work and men going to work saying, I don't want to take an experiment of biologic, and being told that, well, you can't work here. Right. Just imagine a grandparent trapped in a nursing home and has been told that you can't see your loved ones. Now, some of these people are 90, 80 years old. They've seen everything, because the potential of getting COVID, something that has a 99.9% recoverable rate,
right,
something that has been damaging children, something that has been killing athletes, something that has been killing all of the, I mean, just imagine. This is what I mean. If we're not ready to die on this hill, I don't know what hill you're ready to die.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's the bottom line. But like you said before, this is about humanity and this very ugly group. I have to say, I don't know how much you know or you've looked into their transhumanism agenda.
Of course, I'm very familiar with it. People
don't believe it. They don't believe it. Well, Klaus Schwab wrote a book about it. He wrote COVID-19, The Great Reset, and he wrote The Fourth Industrial Revolution. And that doesn't include us.
Well, hey, listen, you know what? Last year, everything that we said, we were told that we were conspiracy theorists. Well, first of all, you know, that is the most ridiculous thing, because the greatest conspiracy is ignorance.
Right.
Remember that. The greatest conspiracy is ignorance, right? So they said that we were wrong on track and tracing. We would say we were wrong on what COVID was and what COVID will be and what it will never be, right? Now we know Fauci is a liar. We now know that it was gained in function, you know, but here's the deal. Nobody's talking about the crime. See, once we identified it was gained in function, that was a crime.
Right.
So millions of people have died because of a crime.
Right.
We shouldn't be looking for mainstream media to tell us if it's right or wrong. We shouldn't be looking for our pastors to tell us it's right or wrong. We already know it was wrong. And we should be going at them for this. It is a crime against humanity.
Right.
And now they're trying to murder all of our children.
Right. I can't even believe it. The same day that they decide that 5 to 12-year-olds should get it, a peer-reviewed study, like science has changed forever, and people need to reevaluate what they believe in every sense of the word. But at the same time, a study came out that warned that women that are pregnant, breastfeeding, or looking to be pregnant should not take the vaccine, as they're going to mandate it in New York City, I'm telling you right now, for children 5 to 12. What's with these parents that are okay with doing this? I have no sympathy for them at this point.
Well, I'm only focused on the parents that do care about their children,
right,
and don't want their children to be experiments, and don't want their children to be sickly all their lives, and don't want their kids to be trapped in poverty. They don't want the menacing medical industry to be telling them what to do in their households and telling them to do what to do with their bodies. So
right.
I think that there are a lot of parents that are paying attention.
You
I think there are a lot of people that are joining our army. Because, you know, you and I, we're the crack troops, you know. You know, we're the crack troops, you know. We're that small band of, you know, warriors that are going to win the war, you know. We're going to stand up because we're going to, I'm telling you, we're going to win.
I know.
Because the more they push the mandates, the more they push this on our children, the more they take jobs, and we're going to win.
I know. That's the thing. They're overplaying their card. I don't know if you saw this disgusting thing with Kamala Harris. She went down in Virginia. They put out to 300 Black churches a video of her, like the Black community are morons. And Kamala Harris going on some video to tell them what to do is a good idea. I don't understand what's going on with that, but I was really happy to see it looked like that backfired.
Well, all of the country now is starting to figure out who's directly responsible for this.
Right.
You know, the Democratic Party, the radical left, first of all, let me clear up something. The old Democratic Party that I grew up with, I didn't like them, but they were not this way.
Right.
Right. I call the Democratic Party of the 21st century, right? They're the new slave party. They are now taking the mantle from the Dixiecrats, and they are now expanding that into the marketplace. And they're now using the courts. They're now using the corporations. They're now using our local government. They're now using our state government to finish us off.
Right.
So the Democratic Party is the new slave party of the 21st century.
Right.
They are picking up where their cousins left off. Okay.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we need to call it what it is. The Republicans aren't doing this. Now, if the Republicans were doing this, I would say.
Right.
Republicans are doing it. No, it's the Democrats that are pushing mandates. It's the Democrats that are pushing social credit score. It's the Democrats that are pushing this on our children. It's the Democrats that are taking our jobs. It's the Democrats that are forcing the courts using the Jacobson law, this obscure law to keep in place the mandates. It is the Democratic Party up and down the country, all legislators, all state senators, all U.S. senators, all U.S. congressmen, all local mayors, all local our aldermen, they are pushing this on their people. They're pushing it on us.
Right. And I know you and your wife go out there and you guys fight, you show up and all of that. But and people are starting to show up. But the question I get the most is how people can fight back, what they can do. And I think you have a lot of good suggestions for most folks in where they can start if they are just waking up. Because here's the crazy part. You and I have been doing this for, you know, a very long time. But in the last 6 to 8 months, maybe 6 months, I've seen a wave. Like when we were in New York City and I looked out at the crowd in front of us and I saw the Black Lives Matter folks, the LGBTQ, America First, MAGA, Black, White, Asian, Indian, gay, straight. I saw a mass of just humanity without what I say. United we stand, divided we fall has never been more true. So for people that don't know where to start, want to do something, want to get out there, what's your advice to them?
Well, you can come and join us at Urban Global Health Alliance and be a part of our Civic Disobedience National Campaign.
Yes, sir.
That's number one. Number two, you can join your local groups in your community and start to take action against your school boards, against your local governments, and against the corporations that believe they want to be our God. So you got to get together and, you know, and hold up for a second. You got to get together and start joining in other groups and start working with them and start holding rallies, start going to your council meetings, but really stay focused on the fact that we have the power.
Right.
They don't have the power over us. We have given all of our power to groups of people that we finance,
right?
That we vote for. We organize the government. We are the government. When did we, what happened to us?
I don't know.
Did we just give these band of idiots our power?
Right.
I say, vote them out, run them out, and take back your government.
Right. We also,
there was no other way.
No. We also need to find good people to fill the void because we can't allow a void. That's why I tell people right now, start forming groups if you don't have a local one and find the good people with integrity that believe in God and country and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and will uphold it once put in office. And, you know, what you're saying right now about the Democratic Party, I don't even see them as that anymore. To me, they're just all communists. They're either blackmailed or brainwashed or whatever it is. There is no excuse. They're not for America. And we're a country by the people.
Well, Mel, you're right. And one of the things we have to start doing, too, is we have to start figuring out how to divest from this system. We should never want to go back. We should never want to go back. That's why we created Freedom Travel Alliance. You know, why, you know, we realized that they were going to stop us from traveling. So we said, oh, no, we're not. We're going to build our own company.
Right.
That's why I want people to come in and join as members and become subscribers, but become members because we're going out to the market right now to raise money for two planes.
I know.
We're not waiting around. Right now, we're working on how do we engage in food distribution networks all around the country. I just did a beta test with one of my dear friends, Trent Luce out of Kansas, where I got delivered 800 pounds of beef. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take that to the next level. And right. All of these families don't have to worry about the food shortage. All of these families don't have to worry about the supply chain, which is all to keep us trapped in fear.
Right. Right. Well,
oh, they're going to take our food. We got to get the injection. Oh, they're going to take our jobs. We got to get the injection. Right. No. Once you buy into that, you buy into slavery forever.
Right. And you and I have been driving all over the country. Speaking of the Travel Alliance, I love them too. But I've been driving because I will not go to the airport. I won't fly. They're acting like it's the passengers that are the problem. No, that's not true. It is the entire, but across the board, hospitality, customer service, service in general, they've just used COVID to decimate the entire industry of hospitality and across the board. But they're replacing it with AI, and people don't really see the big picture here, which is there's too many of us. And if people don't get that these people are playing God, what I saw the other day was they had their transhumanism event, of course, not covered by most. And this ex-Google AI guy gets up there and he says that their goal is to replace God and religion with a benevolent AI.
Well, guess what? I hope he keeps talking. Every time Biden talks, every time they keep talking, they just prove our point. We have more members joining us every day. We have more supporters every day. We have more people with their eyes open every day. Guess what? People are now moving away from the cult of religion and the cult of science
right.
to the truth and faith of God and talking to real people that really want to help people heal their bodies, heal their minds, and heal their spirits. So I hope they keep talking. I hope they get up there every day and show all of the hubris that they have to the world, that they believe that there's a right for them to displace, you know, who we are as human beings.
Right. And the other thing is, as we're driving across country, I've seen the saddest part is so much barren farmland, so many decimated full-on towns, steel towns, manufacturing towns. It's not just the plant that's gone. And yet in New York City, you know, we have homeless people everywhere that they don't care about. And they keep pushing this lifestyle in the inner city and all of that. I think we got to get people out into America, reinvesting into America, finding the trades and all the stuff that they kind of said, don't worry about that. Learn to code BS. That no, we have plenty of things we can do to rebuild America from the inside out. I think we got to turn the model around. I'm especially for the Black community to me. Why are they living like that when they could go out there and have space for their children to run around and a better life outside of these inner cities?
Well, one of the things that I've been pushing back on, and I'm quite sure you've heard me say this, you know, let's not, as Black Americans, let's not worry about the barbarians at the gate, worry about the barbarians in the gate that look
right.
like me.
Exactly.
The ones that are the guard dogs for the oligarchs, the one that sells us garbage as hope every day, the elected officials that have sold out their people already. They look like me, not like you, Mel, not like you. They look like me. So in order for the Black community or the black group to progress, right. we have to get rid of them first.
Right.
And we have to develop a new vision for Black America outside of the slave narrative or the victim narrative.
Right.
You know, we have to move away from that. I don't need a handout. I don't need a handout from anyone. I'm not a victim. I know what ownership is. I know what family is. I know what faith is. And what they've been selling to Black Americans in this country is victimhood. And guess right. who's doing it? Black Americans are.
Right.
Not
right.
white right. Americans. White Americans, you got your own damn problem.
Right. Well, also.
Wait a minute, though. And I think everybody's starting to realize that. We have to look internally. We have to have a civil war internally
right.
in our communities because the Black leadership, the Black pseudo-intellectual, the Black pastor who does not represent the Black church. Listen, I want to stay right there for a minute. The Black traditional church would have never accepted this. The modern day Black church works for the government.
Right.
They are proxies for the two. They are the proxies of the corporation of white supremacy. You ever notice you have all of these Black people on TV talking about white supremacy, but they work for the very people that represents the corporation of white supremacy. I mean,
right.
these people are idiots. I mean, who would ever listen to these people? Everything they talk about is race, 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 race.
Sick. It's sick.
Nothing else. No. That's all they talk about. And they think that they're smart and they think that Black Americans are not paying attention. But guess what? Black Americans aren't voting for them anymore.
Right.
Black exactly. Americans are abandoning that party because right. guess what? I believe Black Americans have a sadistic relationship with the Democratic Party, a sadistic one.
I agree. I agree with that for sure.
And it's time to break that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these groups that we've been divided into. I see this for Jews, the Jewish entire. First of all, people would always say, oh, media is run by Jews and Hollywood's run by Jews. Well, I'll tell you what, most of those Jews, if you ask them, will tell you they're atheists and they don't believe in God at all. And I saw this happen about 20 wow. years ago, an infiltration into the Jewish community that I saw. You know, all these Jews that are liberals, hated Trump, you know, they're not, I think that the entire American Jewish community has been totally bought off too. And they have been led to believe most Jews don't even observe any holidays at all or go to synagogue at all. And yet call themselves Jews. But at the end of the day, you ask them, they're going to tell you they're atheists a lot.
Well, it's really interesting. It's really interesting that groups of people that don't believe in God.
Right.
I mean, that's just really frightening in itself. They have the right to believe whatever they want to. But, you know, to not believe in God is you're soulless.
Right.
I mean, to not believe there's something greater than yourself. You're soulless.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around those kind of human beings, you know.
Right. But that's what they need, though. I have to tell you, you and I know that the puppet masters are up here and they can't have people believing in God or they won't achieve their communist dystopia, you know, track and trace world of full surveillance, full everything. Now, have you found a way around for people that want religious exemptions, other things like that? Is there information?
Well, what's happening is there's a lot of confusion out here. Like in New Jersey, right. We're a religious exemption state, but people are denying their religious exemptions. how do you do that? We're a religious exemption state.
I don't understand.
You can't supersede the state law. Yes, it was legislatively done. It's not something that was not legislatively done. The mandates are not laws.
No.
The mandates are not laws.
Right. And so these employers, I believe, are committing a crime. We already have a discrimination crime. You know, it's already against the law to discriminate against people for any of this stuff.
Yeah, so, but here's the problem with all of that. You know, we now have been analyzing the laws. We understand the Constitution. We understand all of that stuff. But let me just tell you something. We really dropped the ball.
Right.
We shouldn't even be having this conversation. You know, we should have, listen, one thing that Constitution and the Bill of Rights was created for was to stop the overreach of government. But you know what? We kept giving a lot more of our power, a little bit more of our power every day to the government. Now you see what's happening. The government should not exist if we don't want it to exist.
Right.
Why are we still trying to negotiate with these people?
Right. Well, that's what I see. 1/6, the false flag that I always knew was a false flag set up by them. 1/6, I believe was really about that in our Constitution, it says that when the government has become so tyrannical, they behave like a monarchy of some sort, that we, the people, don't have the right. We have the duty to replace that government with a government by the people, for the people. And we can form militias, we can protest, all of that. Well, I think 1/6 was a big try it and we'll throw you in a jail for political wrongthink without charges for months. And that's what I think is going on there. What's your take on what's happening in D.C. to these political prisoners?
Well, I guess what? I got to tell you something. I've been talking about this a little bit. That of course, we know, you know, January 6th was a false flag. OK, we can analyze that. But when in the hell as a country, right, that we can't go to the building that we pay for and protest without being criminalized?
Right.
Now, let's keep it right there for a second. Now, if some people did some bad things, that's fine. But to use the full force of the government against these citizens says that we're no longer America. We are right. Now America, USA, China.
Right. Right.
And then what about Congress? What about the Senate? What are they doing? Guess what? All of these state legislators are usurping their, getting their authorities usurped by their governors because they're failed legislators. They should be kicked out too. They're right. Not protecting our rights. That's checks and balances, right? They should be out too. There should be no legislator happy in America right now.
We should be running them out of office. Right. And like you
said, it's the governor as an excuse. You're not doing your job.
Right. Right. but it's up to us to get out there. Like you said, they've set up this model that we kind of were like not paying attention. And now it's like, you got to get up, you got to get out. People need to be fearless, because they also set up a model that if you run against them, like what just happened with Larry Elder, if you run against them, they're going to destroy you. We have to have more brave people that it doesn't matter what they say, that they're going to stick with it and go out there and fight for our country and win. Because
Larry Elders is just one of many that are out there now. Guess right. what? Larry, they didn't destroy Larry Elders.
No.
Guess what he's doing right now? Larry Elders is looking at them and say, look what you have done.
Right.
I know. Look what you have done.
Look, that's what I'm saying. Listen,
I think Larry did us a favor by running for office.
Me too.
He did America a favor by doing it, because he exposed it all.
Right. And for people that don't know, Larry Elder, when I lived in L.A. for 16 years, I listened to him every day on the radio for 2 hours. This was him doing that to shine the light on it. He doesn't need it. But we have to look at that and watch and see how they attacked him. And he just kept running forward. And that's what we have to take as a model, which is get out there and run. And don't if they're attacking you, you're in the right place.
Right. Well, I never worry about being attacked, because I come from a political family. I understand how this works. I'm an insider. When they attack me, they're going to have a headache because I know them all. I know who funds them. I know who controls them. I know their corruption. I know it all.
Yeah.
Because guess what? We fought against that all of our lives. So when you attack me, you're going to have a splitting headache.
Yeah. The Jenkins family really are out there fighting on the front lines more than most.
We don't play, because we understand it. We understand what this is about.
I know.
So, you can't cry racism to us. You can't say we don't know what we're talking about.
Nope.
You can't say we're not black enough. You can't say we're not hip enough.
No, you can't say
we're not intelligent enough. You can't say we're not American enough.
Nope. Listen, you guys all really put it on the line all the time. And I'm proud to know you and your brother and your family. And I have to say, you guys are real heroes out there, and you're as brave as they come, and you just don't care. Nobody can mess with the Jenkins. So let's just wrap this up with, where can everyone find you if they don't already know where to find you?
You can go to UrbanGlobalHealthAlliance.com.
Right.
You can go to Freedom Travel Alliance. I mean, that company, we're so proud of what we're doing. Members from all around the world joining and becoming members. And I want everybody to know, this was a big risk.
Right.
You know, we put our lives on the line to do this. And when you become a member, you help us to grow so we can have that airlines. We can be free.
Right.
You know, we created Urban Global Health Alliance for the same thing, you know, to change the culture of health in this country.
Yeah.
Through advocacy, now, public policy and education.
Right. Nick, because I do worry, because I see a lot of this stuff, Black Lives Matter, because I know where it comes from, not from where it was supposedly from. But critical race theory, defund the police. No bail, and now the mandates. There's been
socialism, Marxism, communism, all failed experiments.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Just like transhumanism, it's going to fail. No human being wants to have that in their lives. We want to be free human beings. But let me get back to Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, I never understood it.
Right.
And let me tell you what I mean. When you say Black Lives Matter, you're basically asking for an excuse to exist. See, Black lives have value means something to me.
Right.
When you place value on your humanity, when you place value on your family, when you place value on your group, that means you're thinking about ownership. You're thinking about faith. You're thinking about family. You're thinking about, how do you grow and protect your family moving into the 21st century? How do we build human capital, which are our children, to do great things and make this country better than it is today, right? So when you say Black Lives Matter, that's just that. Nobody that I know understands that.
No.
That was a Marxist organization that was single focused on chaos and not focused on any issue that was impacting me or impacting my community.
Right. That's
not
the
one.
Problem.
They didn't come up with one public policy.
No.
One. So when you talk about Donald Trump, I always laugh about this because I'm very practical about these things. I don't care if you liked him or not. All I ask is one question from a Black American's perspective. What policies did he create that impacted Black Americans in a negative way?
None. Opposite.
None. So when you make a decision about not liking someone from a political perspective, from a public policy perspective, you have to know why you don't like them. The reason why Black Americans didn't like them, because the party that they have a sadistic relationship with and the radical left convinced them that this guy was bad for them. Now, that says a lot about my group listening to the Democratic Party, which is the slave party of the 21st century and the former slave party of the 1800s.
Right.
Now, you got to understand what I'm saying to you. So even if you don't like the man, right? But then you had a president that looked like me that did nothing for you for 8 years.
Right.
But sing good Al Green songs. And now he comes back and tells you, well, I wasn't perfect. We're not perfect, but vote for us. Vote for failure again. Right. Right? Right. Vote for mandates. Vote for total control. Vote. You listen to what he's saying to you. Now, Black people are not monolithic. There's some Black people that might disagree with me, but I've been waiting for them to disagree with me in public.
Right. I know. And
because they can't.
No. And they actually, people are so excited to see you speak. And I think you've really empowered a lot of people in the Black community to look beyond what they're being told and figure it out. And, you know, when you get up there, people listen and cheer you on because they hear you and you're making a difference. And I wish there was more of you, but there will be. But right now, what you are doing is amazing. I saw how the crowd loved you. It's really getting through. And your message, you've been incredibly brave. I know you don't think that because you're just being you. But I've watched it. And I will see you, I believe, in San Antonio, because yes. You go out there and you don't just sit behind a desk or, you know, in the rooms of our politicians. You actually go out there and meet the folks like I do. Yep. And that's a whole nother level of commitment. And I love seeing you out there. You are a great voice. And thank you so much for coming on. You have made such a difference in so many people's lives. And keep fighting the good fight, because you're also really helping the Black children of the future have a better life. And they deserve it. And they've been let down by many, many people before. And you are not going to do that. And thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And I love you. And tell everybody I said hi.
I will. I'll see you in San Antonio with a big hug.
I'll see you there next week. I'll see you.
Thank you.